Welcome to Design Expressions, presented by Pacific Sales and Jenner Luxury Appliances, a podcast about incredible interiors, experiential exteriors, and everything in between. Inspired by those crafting exquisite spaces for those who seek them. Hi, I'm Fernando Marfield. I'm the West Coast Lead for Sales and Marketing for luxury appliance brand Jenner.
And I'm Sean Ayala, Marketing Manager at Pacific Sales Kitchen and Home, a Best Buy company.
Today's topic, very interesting, and actually something that is happening, you know, based on what we're hearing on trends, and it's about mastering the multi-use environment in the design space. A look at how multi-use environments are changing interior design and architecture. I want to know about the challenge that we're seeing is to make spaces more functional while adding depth into the design, or maybe a fresh look. How to conceal the tools on this new functionality and how to increase the performance and the physical space. We have an incredible guest today. Sean, please introduce our guest, you know, for today.
Thank you, Fernando. So on today's show, we are speaking with Michael Katsivas. He is the founder partner of CAP Studios. Michael has led residential, office, workplace, hotel, and hybrid projects in Los Angeles and in London for clients, including AEG, and the list goes on and on. He's always alert to the functional possibilities of leftover spaces. He is skilled at creating unexpected moments of joy within a design through simple, cost-effective interventions. Welcome to the show, Michael. How are you?
Great. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. It's really a pleasure to be here and talk about this very interesting topic. Like I say, we've been working on a lot of different residential projects from, you know, the high-end scale of luxury living all the way up to affordable housing. So we're looking at all different types of, you know, housing models and the way people are living their lives on all different scales. And it's a really interesting and fascinating topic. And there's lots of innovation and new ideas coming out about how you use spaces and kind of what spaces you need. And like you say, how you can kind of, you know, turn a multifunctional space into a warm and inviting place to live that, you know, also feels comfortable and open and airy at the same time.
Very cool. So again, we appreciate you taking your time today. Let's start off with, because we were on your website, the firm's website, and there was a description, fun and playful. And that's a vernacular of designers traditionally, not architects. I know you have to be serious in this space, but like, yes. Where do those two concepts fall when ideating a new project? Like, very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I think we always try to kind of, you know, fun and playful. I mean, I think, you know, architecture is, you know, is serious. There's lots of codes and regulations that govern it, but at the same time, it's a fantastic and an enjoyable experience for everyone involved. So, you know, any project, you know, has aspirations and goals and things that it wants to achieve. And I think, you know, if that process can be, you know, as rich and rewarding and fun and playful and interesting as possible, it always ends up with a better or kind of more innovative and interesting product building at the end. So it's really just kind of looking at, you know, I think one of the things about architecture is, you know, how do people live their lives? How do people use buildings? And whenever you can bring elements of kind of unexpected joy or funness or kind of, oh, that's interesting, I didn't expect to see that stair here or whatever it may be. Or like, oh, you made the whole bathroom red. That's crazy. You know, those types of things when you kind of walk into a space and you're not really expecting it or it's you know, kind of surprising in a good way. That's a really fun environment and kind of interesting environment to be in. And I think that really, you know, those moments that you can enter, you can kind of bring into any design, you know, really makes for a special building that people remember. So those kind of unexpected moments are what really grabs people's attention. And like I say, it can be anything from, you know, making a trash room all green, you know, all the way up to doing a crazy stair on the facade of your building. So it's really kind of, you can find these moments of design in any aspect of any project, really.
In the past 2.5 years, we've seen this term, the slash, right? The slash in the room. So the kitchen slash yoga studio or the dining room, you know, slash classroom, you name it. So how have you, you know, there's so much going on, right? So how have you adapted your design elements into these new trends, specifically what the pandemic, you know, has led these consumers in making the multi-use purpose space, right? So I would like to see some examples of some of the feedback that you're seeing from your clients out there.
Yeah, definitely. So I think, you know, there has been an element of, you know, openness that has been kind of, you know, pervasive the design of buildings for a long time now. And, you know, more and more buildings become more and more open. And so you have multifunctional spaces where the kitchen is the living room, the dining room, you know, that's been going on for some time. And it's just kind of, you know, creative ways of designing those spaces. At the same time, you have these multifunctional spaces. You still need some privacy. You need some kind of noise control, these types of things. So there's interesting ways of using room dividers, of changes in materials and changes in lighting, you know, that can signify different spaces. But still function all within one space. And also such a, you know, like doubling up on spaces. Like, you know, if you have, you know, a big stair in a house, you can sometimes have the landing, a big enough landing to kind of function as a small office space or something along those lines. So it's kind of creative, being creative about space planning and also creative about how, what kind of furniture you're using for those types of things. So those are kind of things that we're always looking at. I think the advent of, you know, the home office is something that has been added on. So I think, you know, every you know, unit of apartment buildings to, you know, single family homes all need a home office or want a home office at this point. So it's trying to kind of, where can you carve out a little bit of space, you know, maybe make the closets a little bit smaller, or maybe the air conditioning closet is a little bit smaller, or, you know, the kitchen or whatever, just so you can kind of create a nook where someone can put a desk and can work from home and, you know, be able to close the door and things like that. So, you know, that the home office is definitely something that is kind of prevalent in all designs and from all scales of projects at this moment. And that's really fascinating to see, because I think, you know, Zoom and these types of environments have really allowed people to free up their working schedule, which has now kind of really started impacting the built environment, which is, you know, a great thing to see and kind of, you know, a challenge to bring on board and integrate into any design.
Very cool. And then, so when I think about just the real estate, just when you're thinking about the value of it, when you're designing or developing a project, it seems like there's been a just this return of like value of space. How do you even evaluate the value in the construct of the development and the design?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think, you know, value is important, you know, obviously, you know, kind of square footage is the value and things like that, but it's also how you design spaces that has a huge effect. So, you know, sometimes maximizing your building envelope doesn't get you the built design and the best return on your project. So being conscious of, you know, things like access, like you don't want to walk into an apartment that's full of corridors and you can't figure out where you're going. So just, you know, space planning and how you, you know, that kind of entry threshold into your apartment or into your house and then into the next space, does that, you know, does that feel intuitive and natural and easy and kind of, you know, where you're going without having to search for a door? So those kinds of, you know, space planning things, where you're not kind of feeling that, you know, apartments or houses full of corridors is kind of one tactic. You know, daylight windows, you know, making, you know, if you have a corner unit, you know, really thinking, okay, if you have a corner unit, you know, you want to put your living room on the corner so you can get two sides of windows and it makes it feel brighter and more open, if, even if it's the same size as something that's closed in on three walls. So those types of kind of things when you're looking at a plan really help. And like, you know, I touched on briefly on, you know, views out and daylight. So any kind of view or anything like that that you have, you know, obviously you try to take advantage of that. And it gives you that space, you know, it kind of makes the room feel bigger, opens it up to the outside. And kind of you just, you know, take those moments where you see them and organize your building or your design around those aspects of it.
Very cool.
You know, so we're speaking about multi-purpose space. Are there some like random add-ons, you know, specifically about appliances that you're seeing out there? For example, you know, representing an appliance brand, I see like warming drawers used in very unique spaces, you know, not necessarily just underneath the oven or under your island. So what have you seen out there? Very curious, you know, to see how appliances are being used in other spaces.
Yeah, definitely. I think that touches on to what we were touching earlier about, you know, other spaces doubling up as other rooms. So, you know, you might want to, you know, we do like a, you know, big single family houses as well, where, you know, there might want to be kind of a, you know, a kind of kitchenette in a space that's not the kitchen. So you might want a kitchenette down in where you have your, you know, your recreation room or your den or something like that. So you don't want a full blown kitchen. So then can you integrate a warming drawer or sink or those types of appliances, a coffee maker, you know, into other aspects of the house. So, you know, if you have, you know, your bedroom and you, you know, maybe you don't want to go downstairs and make a cup of coffee and you wake up. So can you integrate a coffee maker into your closet or just some kind of storage space or on the side or something like that? So, you know, that's the types of things where you think about, okay, let's put a coffee maker here and a sink, and then you don't have to go downstairs every morning or whatever. You might want to just lounge around in your bedroom, and maybe your bedroom is your office, and you kind of, that kind of feeds into that space as well. You know, so those types of things, I think, you know, you're trying to integrate those little moments in kind of different aspects of the room as well. So it also depends upon what kind of house you're building or what kind of, you know, environment you're building. So, you know, we're doing some big houses where, you know, there's a movie theater, for example, in the house, and, you know, in the back of the movie theater, there's all, you know, you want a bar and you want kind of like sink and refrigerator and probably a microwave and a warming drawer and those types of things. So, you know, those types of spaces that need some kind of catering or, you know, food facility that are secondary to the kitchen, you know, that's where you start integrating. And you need to be clever about how you design them. So you want to make them feel seamless and integrated and not just stuck on. So you think about the cabinetry and the housing and the kind of the storage that goes around these units and these spaces as well.
Yeah, it's fun to see a warming drawer, for example, in a bathroom, right? Yeah,
exactly.
Or like warm towels, right? So kind of a mini spa type of experience. Or even there's an under-counter drawer refrigerator, maybe in the workout room. So you can actually have cold towels instead, right? So many, many functions, little elements that really make a difference for that client.
Definitely, yeah. So we do, I mean, we are sort of like, you know, our larger single-family homes that have gyms, that have theaters, that have, you know, these other types of spaces. You know, there's definitely appliances that get integrated into those exactly for those purposes that you're mentioning. So if you are, you know, if you have, you know, a personal trainer or someone coming over to your house, you know, you have some facility to create, you know, cold drinks and things like that while you're working out and exercising.
And then so I think about, because Pacific Sales, Best Buy, we are ingrained into technology. So I just wanted to just like talk about that quickly. Are there when you're designing or creating these spaces, is technology a piece of this at all in what you're creating or developing?
A huge piece, yes, definitely. So I think we're doing a large apartment building in Palm Springs, and that is where we're actually using Gen Air appliances for the penthouses. So I throw it out there. So that's in Palm Springs that we're doing, and we have integrated a lot of technology on there. So there's, you know, I think there's obviously the advent of smart homes and kind of, you know, wireless access and being able to control your video cameras and being able to control your thermostat, you know, all those types of things where you're remote, or if you want to be able to turn on your lights and warm your house when you're half an hour away, you know, you're driving home half an hour away, that would heat up my house so it's not cold when I arrive. You know, all those types of those aspects that have become readily available and very easy to use. It's something that's integrated into the design from day one so that we can make sure that the right system's in place, that the right kind of cabling and the wiring, and, you know, you have the infrastructure to be able to integrate that into the design. And it's not something that you're adding on at the last minute, but it's something that you've worked out from the very beginning. So locks, access control, parking, you know, elevators, all that kind of stuff is integrated into the design for sure.
Yeah, well, it definitely makes sense. I mean, because you can't go backwards once you go forward. So,
no, exactly.
From a tech perspective, you need all that. You need to know where everything is going from the get go to really make sure that the project is developed the right way, right?
Yeah, and it also becomes a kind of a platform for the whole entire building. So, you know, tenants can pay their rent through it. Tenants can, you know, look at the building in it before they move in. They can get a virtual tour. So all that kind of thing that's wholly integrated into one system. You know, that ties into, you know, paying your rent, you know, via this app ties into being able to turn on your lights in your own home as well. So that's all the same stuff that kind of, you know, allows users and tenants to have this kind of very holistic experience of their building that goes beyond just the physical world.
Experience in the LA market. LA has always been a bit for architectural experimentation and design. Lately, there has been a lot of changes in regulation on construction and design. So I would like to know, like, how are you overcoming some of those, you know, obstacles that you're facing, and how so actually some maybe vendors like ourselves are helping you overcome those obstacles?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think there is, California is, I worked in London and in LA, and California is definitely very regulated, and there's lots of codes and regulation going on, and it's kind of, you know, there are obstacles, but in some ways it makes for a much better built environment. So yes, the code and the building code is difficult and it is convoluted, but it does make for, you know, an environment that has protections and tries to create a nice living experience for the whole entire population. So those types of things are great to move in. And I think that, you know, there are challenges getting it right, but you just, you know, work through it. And kind of once you understand it, you can make a great building. You know, vendors always help out because sometimes they know aspects of the code, like the electrical code or the plumbing code. You know, there's lots of that, you know, things about stormwater collection and kind of drainage and things like that. So those types of, you know, technical aspects about, you know, oh, you know, your power supply is too much. You're going to need a transformer or you're going to need another panel or something like that. So, you know, and integrating the low voltage security AV stuff into the design, you know, obviously affects that kind of power supply that we're looking for. You know, on some of the bigger single family homes that we're working on, you know, they all want elevators, and that obviously triggers a whole nother thing. So, you know, you get into elevators and get into, do you want just a, you know, like a platform lift, or do you want a full blown elevator, traction elevator, and kind of the scale of houses sometimes they're working on, the, you know, the traction elevator is definitely the right choice. So then you're getting into a whole other world of kind of regulations about utilities and power supply and things like that. You know, in terms of the kitchen appliances, definitely, you know, there's always, you know, working with vendors to get those things right, you know, in terms of space planning, in terms of ducting and air control and ventilation. So, you know, someone like Jen Air, we always kind of speak to at the beginning, you know, and try to, you know, make sure that we have the right infrastructure in place to take on board, you know, their fantastic products, really.
Thank you. I know for California, for example, you know, new construction in some cities, it has to be all electric cooking, right? So,
yes.
So that's a big one that designers are facing because, you know, of course, gas, the romanticism that is, there is of a big commercial range.
Yeah.
But I know some of those obstacles, you know, and vendors ourselves, we have options, right, to overcome and be prepared for that change. There is, of course, you know, a story around sustainability and why the reasons that California is moving in that direction. But I think Sean has a question specifically around that, you know, sustainability.
Definitely.
Yeah, well, so right now, like product discovery, sustainable design, locally produced, like these are just all these buzzwords right now are extremely popular. How do you incorporate these concepts into your work?
Definitely. So I've been on a bit of a personal mission to get more and more people onto induction stovetops. And I know that there's a, you know, that kind of environmentally friendly aspect in terms of the gas and the natural gas they're using. I resisted an induction stove for a long time in my own house. And then I finally cracked and bought one. And it was the best decision I made in terms of my kitchen that I ever made. It's kind of, it's very reactive. It's super to cook with and it's low. It's very environmentally friendly. And now I'm on an advertisement for induction stovetop somehow. I have another client that we're doing a house for in LA, you know, a single family house. And I've been trying to convince her the whole project to go with induction rather than gas. And those types of things, you know, those are kind of new. I mean, induction's been around for a while now, but those, it's just one example of many. But those types of kind of things that, you know, you still get the performance that you want, but you're doing it in a sustainable way. So I think about, you know, those types of appliances that you choose in the kitchen, you know, and obviously like, faucets that, you know, don't use as much water and don't use as much energy and things like that, water filtration, those types of things, low energy appliances, you know, that's all part of the California building code. So you have to do that anyways, which is great. But, you know, there are definitely appliances and things like that you can use that are more environmentally friendly than others. And then there's obviously, you know, things that you try to do in terms of your design that go beyond that about, you know, passive design and kind of ventilation and trying to reduce the amount of air conditioning being used. So, you know, any natural ventilation or fans that you can integrate into the design are also key to that, those types of measures as well.
Yeah, very cool. And then, oh, go ahead, Fernando.
No, I mean, he got it, you know, like energy saving, but of course, when it comes down to being quiet, right? Quiet appliances these days, that is part of the whole messaging around, hey, it is sustainable, but why is it quiet, right? Is it because you're using less water, less energy, all of the above, right? Then we want to make sure that those appliances are representing also the social responsibility of the client, following the norms, you know, that we're trying to be better when it comes down to sustainable construction. And the appliances are bringing forward that technology as well.
Definitely. Yeah, I think you do. Good.
Yeah, no, sorry, because I wanted to jump back because I know in the introduction we talked about just depth in design and really around concealing the tools of this new functionality and to increase the performance of a physical space. And I know you touched on this a bit, but like I wanted to just get that in a sound bite around like, how do you look at spaces and figure out how to make the best of them and make them efficient? Like, what is your process around doing that in spaces?
Yeah. That's a tough question for any architect to answer. I think it's kind of it's something hard. Well, let me try to put it in words if I can. I mean, I do a lot of sketches and a lot of kind of, you know, things like that, working out. And kind of, I grew up in a day where we hand sketched rather than using the computer, just showing my age there. But it was kind of, you know, I think, you know, it's almost intuitive in a way. Like, I think, you know, intuitive design or kind of something that you feel, you know, I mentioned early on about when you open the front door, you kind of, you know where you're going and things like that. So in terms of kind of, you know, space planning and kind of making sure that a multifunctional space works well, you know, you just kind of, it's a process of iteration and kind of designing it. There's certain key moves about, you know, clear access, daylight, you know, enough space to make it feel comfortable. Can you double up on surfaces? So, you know, a lot of times now kitchen islands, you know, function as a dining table. So you can kind of start using lots of different elements of the design in multiple ways. So, you know, the kitchen island is basically desk, you know,
yeah,
computer table, gaming table, table, you know, all the kind of different things that you use. The kitchen island has become that, and you kind of, the rest of the stuff has become redundant. So, you know, that and kind of, you know, just thinking about, you know, how people live their lives is other important. Like when you're laying out a living room, people watch television. So you need to think about, oh, where's my television going to go? So, you know, those types of things about how people actually live their life and how they actually want to use spaces rather than trying to design just a pristine kind of beautiful space is actually important, because otherwise you end up with lots of clutter around it. So, you know, that's kind of, you know, those types of things about just looking at a design and thinking, okay, so how is someone going to use this room? I'm putting that down to paper. So just taking a pen and kind of sketching that out and thinking, this is how you might use this room. And, oh, that's a nice idea. That's got a fantastic view on this side of it. Or actually, it'd be nice to have like a nice little private area over here. So, you know, there's lots of different reasons and why you do things for any individual project. But I think the ultimate goal for all of them, or the same goal for every single one, is, you know, just imagining what that space is like and just kind of working through that, making sure that you're designing a space that people are going to enjoy being in and works well at the same time. And that's kind of done through a process of drawing and kind of exploration throughout the project. And, you know, projects change all over time. So it's really kind of an evolutionary process where you're working at different kind of ideas throughout the whole entire time.
Very cool. Fernando, any additional questions? Any other thoughts?
Oh, this has been a fantastic topic. We always like to learn another perspective, you know, from professionals like yourself, Michael. I mean, we've seen some of your projects online. It is fabulous. But we always like to ask our guests, what are some of the trends happening out there in regards to design, architecture, specifically that is rapidly changing? You know, the evolution of design of the last 2.5 years is we're trying to catch up with it. But what are some things, some final thoughts that you can leave us with that we can learn from?
Yeah, I think there's a great trend. I think about community is a big trend that's happening. And I think there are things like that. It's interesting that, you know, you're kind of seeing a push for an experiential community-based architecture. So there is kind of this idea about, you know, living in an apartment, living in a house, you know, that becoming more than just your house, that it becomes, you know, your office, it becomes your place to entertain friends, it becomes a place to work, you know, kind of a place to work out, it might be a place where you watch movies. So this kind of overlapping of very kind of heavily programmed buildings that have a lot going inside them, something that is new, I think. It's kind of a new model. You know, you used to have very discrete buildings. That was the movie theater, that was the shopping mall, that was, you know, you go to school here, and you go to, and now every building is becoming a kind of an overlap of 5 different buildings all in one. And that's making for great, interesting, and fantastic buildings, especially in the residential space where you have gyms, you have theaters. And those types of kind of very, very heavily programmed buildings is a new form that's kind of taken off. And it's great and a really fun to design and kind of very interesting design as well. I think also another big aspect is, you know, outdoor spaces and kind of this feeling of kind of integrating health and well-being into how you live your life, and this idea of people understanding how people are going to use the building and how it might affect their health and then how they live their life is something that's kind of much more conscientious now. It's kind of moved on from an era where, a lot of architects were designing based on form and kind of making forms and things like that. And now it's coming into, I think, kind of understanding about how do you make an interesting building and how do you make a fantastic building and how do you make that kind of interact with, the residents or the user or the city or whatever it is. And that kind of experiential architecture is becoming a kind of more prevalent in the design world. So, those coupled together make for really interesting buildings, I think.
Very cool. Well, I've learned a ton. I definitely appreciate the time.
It's great talking to you both.
With you today. I mean, for those who want to learn more about you, Michael, where can they learn more?
So yeah, my name is Michael Katsibis, and our web address is capstudios.com. We're on Instagram as well and on LinkedIn. So both of those are capstudios.com, and you can get there or feel free to reach out to us. We're located in Los Angeles on the corner of Wilshire and La Brea in Mid-City. And we also have a studio in London as well. So we're kind of in both cities, operating in both environments.
Very cool. So with that, we'll call it a wrap. Thank you for the time today, Michael. It was great having you on. I'm looking forward to hearing more and following you on Instagram and all that fun stuff. To our listeners, thank you for listening to today's episode of Design Expressions presented by Pacific Sales and Gen Air Luxury Appliances. Again, special thanks to Michael of Cap Studio for joining us. To learn more about Pacific Sales and Gen Air, we have links in the notes section. We'll also have links in the notes section for Michael as well. Again, we appreciate your time, Michael. We appreciate our listeners' time. We will see you in the next episode.
Thanks, everyone.